You might have something in a minute. I want to read this. We'll just follow the Lord tonight, and Brother Dylan and Brother Jim might have something in a minute, I don't know. But I was, I'd asked Brother Dylan, we were sitting there, and I think both of us about the same situation. Kind of got something that's not quite sure. The Spirit just give us liberty.
Yes.
But nonetheless, I do want to read this from the song they sung. You don't have to stand tonight. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to read the whole chapter. Revelation 22. They were saying in the back of the book, says we win. I know we read the Bible often. We ought to study it or read a portion of it. Try to just every day. And I'm not one of those that says if you don't read your Bible every day, then you're not a Christian. But I'm saying that if you read your Bible every day, God will bless you for that. He'll bless you for your efforts. I think that the Lord's given us this word. Not for us to put on a stand or put on a shelf somewhere. He's given it to us so we can read it, meditate it upon it, and yes, learn from it, grow from it, and eat from it. And the Bible says this. And many times in the Bible, I meant to say this before I got started, but many times in the Bible we read the Old Testament. We like to read the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Like to read about the kings, like to read about David. Love to read Psalms. Love to read Proverbs. Solomon wrote that. I don't know too many people that study out the minor prophets a whole lot. Kind of read their books, a couple chapters here and there. That's at the time, most of those are the time of the exile and different things going on in the Bible. Then we get over to Matthew. Man, you read the Gospels. I mean, what a blessing that is, right? I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they just coincide one with another. I mean, they just marry together. And they were written by different men at different times, yeah, from what I understand. But the Spirit just moved so sweetly. And we read about those things. You get over to the Acts of the Apostles, and you get over to the Epistles of Paul, and you read all those. And then you read about the disciples, the ones that wrote, you know, Peter and James, John, Jude, and read all those. You get in Revelation. Revelation is one of those books kind of tricky. I believe, and I've told people, it's a spiritual book. I mean, the Bible tells us that. I mean, that's why God revealed it to John. He said, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And these things were revealed to John spiritually while he was on the Isle of Patmos. And God showed him a lot of things. And a lot of people like to, I've had a mistake in doing it. And I know people that do, maybe not very good Bible readers. They try to go in Revelation and try to understand everything in it. And they haven't even read the book. And they just get really confused because they take a lot of things carnally. And I think a lot of it in there is spiritually, need to be interpreted spiritually. But we know the Bible says that that God, the Spirit, will allow us to discern the Word of God, and it shows us things. But then you got Revelation chapter 22. I mean, you got the whole book of Revelation, but I mean, this is the last book, or the last chapter of the last book in the Bible. And that we don't read a lot of it. But he says this. John said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which shewed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book, worship God. And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. John was seeing and writing and hearing the things that were out ahead of us. I mean, he was looking right into heaven. I mean, there was no more earth. I mean, he was in heaven. God was showing him the things there that was coming to pass, and not only that, but some of the things that were around there. And John was seeing the things that were there. He wasn't seeing things that weren't there. I mean, no more curse was there. I mean, he was seeing all the splendor and all the glory. And then Christ was talking. I mean, the one verse that stuck out to me when I was reading that, it was where John said, "I seen these things and I heard them." And it's one thing to see something, or it's one thing to hear something. But I'm glad that when John was seeing them and hearing them, he was doing both. Jerry mentioned that the other day. He said we got five senses, and he was going over the different senses that we have, carnally speaking. John was telling him here, he said, "I saw them, I heard them." I mean, he was right face to face. And sometimes we come into the house of God and we see the works of God, and we feel the presence of God, and we hear the word of God, and we can perceive the Spirit of God when it moves and how it falls upon somebody and how it'll stir them and it'll stir us. And maybe we've studied something and not really know where it's going to go, but all of a sudden someone will stand up and give a testimony or sing a song, and it'll go right along with what we've been studying, and God just marry it all together. How much better you think it's going to be when we get to heaven and all of a sudden we come in one with another? I'm not going to be thinking something different than you are. And listen, we're all going to gather there in one mind and one accord. We're going to hear things. We're going to see things. We're going to rejoice together over those things. We're going to see the Lamb of God. We're going to see the pure crystal river. We're going to see the tree. We're going to see everything that heaven has. John said they walked through the gates of that city. And he said, I beheld all these things. Listen, and those that were unjust still. Those that were filthy still. Those that were holy still. He said, without the gate were all those unclean things. But those that walked through the gate were those that believed in the Lamb of God and the Word of God and the things of this book. How good is heaven going to be? And then they get up and sing. Hey, listen, we often preach, and I thought about that today. We're putting together some of the broadcasts, and I know Wednesday nights we come in oftentimes, and we desire to preach what God would have us to preach, and it seems like sometimes Wednesday nights just exclusively or specifically for the church. Listen, God sends a message to try to lift us each and every one up out of the doldrums of this world. Hey, listen, and trust me, this world is full of depression if you just allow yourself to be depressed. But I'm glad that God knows how to lift us up and out of it. Hey, listen, we can gather in and realize that no matter what the world has to say about it, that God
said at the end, these things are going to be. We can project on what tomorrow will hold. We can predict maybe how things are going to be next year. But listen, at the end of time, God has the last word. No matter what the world has to say, and no matter what the world does, God still has the last word. And he explains here exactly how everything's going to take place. So no matter how deep in depression you might get, and no matter how down and out you might get, read 22nd chapter of Revelation and realize, hey, listen, that we are winners through Christ Jesus, and there's nothing that the world can do about it.
I've already won.
John never walked into heaven naturally speaking. He was just seeing it spiritually. And God was revealing some things to him. I believe he was writing down as fast as he could. Hey, listen, and there were some times, listen, back in the Bible where God told him, he said, now seal up. And I believe you go over in the book of Daniel. Listen, there was one occasion over there. He said, now seal up those things and you don't write them anymore. Hey, listen, but there he told John, he said, don't seal up the prophecies that I'm giving you. In other words, these things need to be, these need to be revealed. These need to be studied. These need to be preached. They need to be brought out because people need to hear these things. Why is it so important that we hear what was going on in the 22nd chapter of Revelation? Because Jesus was in heaven. He wasn't in the grave anymore. He was already conqueror of everything. Hey, listen, and he was there, and he was saying, behold, I come quickly. In other words, I'm coming back to get you. Listen, in the prophecy of this book about my life and about my death and about the resurrection and about the blood and about the saving power and the love of God, it needs to be preached because I'm coming back. And those that have believed, I'm coming to get them and to take them with me. And all those that believe not, they're going to be left on the outside. That's why it's important, and that's why it's imperative that we preach and we study the Word of God, that we know the Word of God, that we share the Word of God. Jesus is not someone we ought to try to contain. Hey, listen, and put him in a box in our life and hide him away somewhere. Hey, listen, but we ought to proclaim the Word of God. We ought to not be ashamed of who we are. Hey, listen, when the world looks at you and they look at us, they ought to see Jesus first and foremost. I don't care if they know my name. My name's not important, Brother Bob. Hey, listen. And I know we could go around the house today and I could say this with all assurance that I firmly believe that there's not a soul in this place tonight that was have a desire that their name would mean something in this world if it meant that it was above what Christ had done for them in this life. Hey, listen, I believe that with all my heart. How do you know that? Because I believe every blood-bought child of God realizes who they are and they want God to be first in their life. Hey, listen, even the Bible teaches us plainly that those that were born again. And we often preach about Paul and what a great man that he was. But he told them that. Hey, listen, he said, I'm nothing. But I just want in everything I do in my life, I want Jesus to be seen. That's exactly how we ought to be. That's how Peter and John were. It didn't matter what they called them. But when they said, we've perceived that they've been with Jesus, I believe Peter and John smiled and said, I'm good with that. I'll take that. You don't have to know my name. You don't have to know where I'm from. You don't have to know anything about me. Hey, listen, you can call me ignorant. You can call me unlearned. You can call me whatever you want to. You can call me a redneck. You can call me a hillbilly. You can call me whatever you want to. Call me uneducated. I don't really care. But listen, but take note that I've been with Jesus. And I'm good. That's good enough. If we do nothing else, if we can do that, that they'll take note that we know the Lord. Let them look at us and say, something's different about that person. That's good. Well, we ought to let it shine. Let our light shine. Well, and that's such a, I mean, go back and read that at home and just meditate on everything in that. But there's so much in there we could bring out. But listen, God is the authority over all things. And I believe that God's desire and what he was telling them, it's important. That his word is good. I mean, really, that was the commission. That's the commission that he gave the 12. I mean, when Christ come and went up, appeared to him after his death, and he told him, he said, you go out and preach. You go out and preach in all these places. And then he called all those men to come into the ministry, and he called them in to evangelize. Why? Because he was telling them to share the word of God, to go out and prophesy, go out and preach, and go out and teach, and go out and tell them about Christ. Tell them about me. is what Christ was doing. And he told John there, said, I'm Alpha and Omega. In other words, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm everything. That's what they need to know. I was there long before they ever were. I'm here at the very end. And I gave my life for them. You need to let them know that. And that's the function of the church. I mean, the function of a Christian life. I mean, I know we get confused sometimes. Our world seems like they take everything, and when they start putting their own spin on it, it seems like it gets out of control. Nowadays, a lot of people might look at the church, and their single goal is to get 1,000 people. And then when they get 1,000, they change the goal to 1,500. Then they change it to 2,000. Then they'll start getting goals on the fundraising and the financing and all this stuff. And hey, man, they've left out Christ a long time ago. Because they're focused on the wrong thing. I don't care if we have 50 people here every Sunday. I don't care if we have 40 people. I would love to have 100 people. But my primary goal isn't the number on the board. And the primary goal of the church isn't what finances you bring in. The primary goal of the church is to let Jesus shine so souls can be saved. And if we do that, then everything else will take care of itself. I fully believe that. God didn't commission me to grow the crowd. He commissioned me to preach the gospel. He saved us for a purpose. And that's to let our light shine to see the lost and dying world so they could be saved. We ought to come in here. We ought to pray for our lost. We ought to request prayer for our lost. We ought to mention them by name. We ought to have them on our heart. God have mercy on us if we come in here and fail to remember our lost people. Because where would we be if the church failed to remember us? Jesus told him, go out and tell them. John was ready to fall down and worship his fellow servant. He said, don't do that. Just get out. I'm with you. I'm one of your brethren. But then Jesus began to speak. And I love it when Jesus begins to speak. Just the power. I mean, just in the word. I mean, just reading it. And then when the Spirit comes by and just the authority of God and how he just shakes us and stirs us and moves us. Only God can do that. We're winners, folks. We're winners. Absolutely every one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's all I got. You got anything, brother? No, brother?
We just heard this. God, how can I have anything?
God bless you, Jim. God bless you. James, come and get a song. And really, the songs tonight, you think about what they were. James sung that song about, when you look upon my cold form, he said, don't look for me in pity. I will have heard from heaven. I'm already gone. And then Sister Nikki and James sung a song when Jesus called Lazarus. Someday, he's going to say, children, come home. It's time. It's absolutely time. Thank God. What John was... You read a few chapters back, John said, I saw a multitude that no man could number. I mean, what he saw was the marching in of the people of God. He saw the redeemed of the Lord standing, robed in white. Because they'd washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. I mean, they were purified. They were clean. It wasn't those under the law. He was seeing those under grace is who he saw. He saw you and me. We were there. He might not have known our names, but like it's already said, our names didn't matter. We were those of God. We were the children of God. Thank the Lord for that. Glad I'm in that number. Glad I'm in that number. Let's stand our feet tonight.
What a friend we have.
What a friend. You need encouragement, you need help, you need touch, you need God to strengthen you. If you're lost, you need to be saved. Tonight I'm going to tell you that Jesus died specifically for you and me. And before you allow the devil to tell you you're nothing and that you're not important and that God don't care about you, if you're here lost, I want you to know that Jesus, I believe this, I believe he knows each and every one. And when he was on the cross, he was dying for each and every one. What's that mean? That means he died just for me. And it means he died just for you. How can you allow the devil to tell you you're of no value when what is living inside of you come right out of God? I mean, he breathed his breath into man and became a living soul. That goes back to God. That's his. And I'll go this far. I believe that everything that God made, he knows. He knows what's his. He knows what belongs to him. It's his desire to reconcile your soul, reconcile you back, to cover that sin that separated us. The only covering there is the blood of his Son. Praise God. No wonder the angels were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb, holy, holy, holy." I mean, they fell down at his feet. Yes. Testimony thing on your heart tonight.